was spoken. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada, our Prabhupada, expressed to Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he said, actually, sometimes I am feeling very great necessity to consult with someone, but there is no one to consult. So I'm requesting that you kindly come and you live in Mayapur with me. My disciples are building a house for me there. You please come and live in that house with me. And you are very old and not able to walk, so I will arrange everything for you. I will serve you as required. Even they will build an elevator lift for you. You'll not have to go anywhere of your own energy. Because the people are coming from all around the world. They should have the opportunity to hear from you. So in this way, he requested Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And then he also told him, he said that temple, referring to the very large temple that he wanted to build in Mayapur, he said, that will be built under your direction. And why was that? Srila Sridhar Maharaj explained once. Because one of the most favorite books of Srila Sridhar Maharaj amongst the Goswami literatures was Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He used to speak about this very often. And he told that once he was speaking with our Prabhupada, and he expressed to him that he had a desire, that he wanted to build a temple, like his own temple there in Navadvip, and he wanted to depict how in Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Gopakumara's journey is going from one plane to another to another. And he wanted to depict this architecturally in his temple. So he said to our Prabhupada, he said, I was not able to do this, so if in some way you can do it. And our Prabhupada accepted that idea, and then he gave his disciples the order that I want to build such a big temple in Mayapur. So actually this temple, which may or may not be built in the future, we will see, but that temple was supposed to be built under the direction of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And also, all of the continuation of the translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was the life work of our Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And he was not able to complete that. He disappeared when he had reached the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. So at that time he had instructed his young disciple that he should, he had one Sanskrit scholar disciple in Pradumna, and he instructed him that you should consult with Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and in this way you should go on with the translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. But that was not obeyed. So we know that even those who attempted to continue that translation of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you can read it yourself in the beginning of the Ras Panchadhyaya chapters, they themselves are admitting that the beautiful purports of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and the previous acharyas, which have expressed so wonderfully all of these siddhantas, they are so wonderful, and in the future, any empowered Vaishnava should take up this task of presenting the whole purports of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur to the world. So now we see that that has come to pass. And our beloved Srila Gurudev, he has promised very recently this year that now he will begin to give the purports of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur of the 10th canto. Well, Srila Gurudev ki jai. He says that our Srila Prabhupada left some remnants for him to chew. So this relationship is very intimate amongst these personalities who very mercifully and very kindly gave their final years, actually. In each case, these three personalities, our Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and our Srila Bhaktivedanta Narayana Maharaj, as he is doing, they mercifully, in the final period of their life, gave fully from their heart and soul to help all the Western devotees. And this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because it was his divine order. So the hands, the angas, the direct bodily expansions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati have manifested in this world to save all the jiva souls. And we can see, it is very evident to see, what kind of work they have done, how they have helped so many souls throughout the world, how they are helping, and how they will help continually in the future. So I have received so much help from all of their teachings, and in my own personal realization, I wanted to express one thing, that as I read the instructions given in the books of these three personalities, I came to one understanding that Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, his presentation of the Siddhanta, which was very much geared toward very new people who are coming just newly to the pathway of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So his presentation was very much focused on Sambandha Gyan, Sambandha Tattva. Preaching always, you are not this material body. What is Atma Tattva? What is Bhagavad Tattva? Like this. Teaching. Very, very step by step. So, and Srila Sridhar Maharaj was very specific in his teachings because he was preaching to the Western devotees who came to him. He was preaching mostly to devotees who had already learned these things for 10 years or so, like that. And they were very much fixed in their practice of bhakti at that time. So now he began to express in a very very step-by-step manner how to, in a practical way, perform Sharanagati. This was one of his most important contributions. He actually wrote one book, which is called Prapanna Jivanamritam. And that book, it is explaining in for every one of the six limbs, the six angas of Sharanagati, Anukulyasya Sankalpa, Pratikuli Vivarjana, for each one of these six limbs, he has given one entire chapter. And there, he has brought quotations and praman from so many different acharyas and so many different shastras to clearly show what is the mood of each one of these six limbs of Sharanagati. And if you examine the English lectures which he gave to all of the devotees who came to him, he was giving them practical knowledge how they should apply this within their lives, how they should understand that we should tolerate what is coming to us, that the tatein kampam susamikshamano bunjana ivatma kritam vipakam. He used to quote this verse, and he used to express that you should know that whatever is happening to you in your spiritual life, actually it's favorable. Now you're lamenting, oh, I have this problem, I have that problem, this obstacle and that obstacle. But he said, you should understand and you should embrace the environment around you. Why? Because the environment has come to teach you. It is Krishna coming to teach you. It is the mercy of Krishna. So you should understand that everything that's occurring in your spiritual life, it is favorable for your advancement. This is a very hard pill to swallow for many. But yet he gave it in such a palatable, beautiful, and practical way. So his teachings were very much along the lines of Abhideya Tattva. What is the process? How to enter into bhakti? How to perform Sharanagati like this? And then my third observation is that I have seen that our Srila Gurudev, he has come to the Western world at this later point in time after 25, 30 years, devotees have tried to practice Krishna Bhakti. And now he has come to give this prayojan and to concentrate fully. What is the prem prayojan that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give to this world? And when he came to the Western countries, this is the first subject matter. Try to understand what is the sadhya, what is the goal of your Krishna Bhakti? And then try to determine then what is your sadhana, how you practice sadhana to attain this goal. So in my own personal way, I have felt, I've embraced these three personalities because, you know, in amongst our Gaudiya Acharyas, there are the Sambandha Tattva Acharya, that is Srila Sanatana Goswami, the Abhideya Tattva Acharya, that is Srila Rupa Goswami, and the Prayojan Tattva Acharya, that is Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So I see these three personalities like being expansions of their potencies, how they are giving to the world all of these divine teachings in such a beautiful, wonderful way, and how they are directly giving Krishna Bhakti to all the whole world. So we are so fortunate that we have come into this line, of this line coming down from Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada, and our Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. All are in the same line. All are completely perfected, realized Rupa Nuga Acharyas, and they are giving their mercy to the whole world. So on this blessed appearance day of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, I'm bowing down to the lotus feet of Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Goswami Maharaj and my beloved Sikh Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Maharaj, praying at their lotus feet that they will imbibe even one tiny little particle of realization of their divine teachings in our hearts. Vansha Kalpati Vashtati Vasa Vedanta Narayan Maharaj.
You should fix who will speak after this.
So we have a couple of disciples of Srila Sridhar Maharaj who took Diksha from him, and also a couple of Siksha disciples here. And first of all, I want to call on the senior most disciple amongst them, which is Shripad Tirthapada Prabhu, to come and give his offering to Srila Bhakti Ramchandra Shiva.
You can come and sit here. You can come and sit here.
Sit or stand.
You should come.
Here's the,
you should come
okay.
Here.
Prabhupada Yugas, actually, when we came to his feet, we realized that no, we were Prabhupada Yugas. And what actually Guru means? He, there's two actually, instances that I understood more and more about what guru actually means.
More louder. I'm not hearing. Mic is not.
The two best books, actually, the two best books that anybody actually...
Be in front of mic. Don't move your mouth.
Always be a chest day figure. Not very loud. Okay. The two best books. If one wants to understand the principle of Guru Tattva, is of course Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and one that came out about the time that we came to Srila Bhakti Rakshakshira. That was called Sri Guru's Divine Grace. The point is, these two books, especially, everything is there. Chaitanya Charitamrita especially, the first chapter is very remarkable. You could read that 100 times, 108 times. Every time you read it, some new realization will come out. And then if you have the fortune to actually understand a little bit of Bengali, then you can go deeper. So, even in the first instance, Srila Srila Maharaj used to say that Srimad Bhagavatam, it worked up to a certain point of Ras, but Chaitanya Charitamrita began with Ras. How it began with Ras? Vande Gurun. Vande Gurun. Plural. So, then as you read on, then you find out, oh, it's repeated again. Vande Gurun. Vande Gurun Shabbatam. This verse. And then you understand that actually the sixth tattva is Guru Tattva, is Pancha Tattva, and then the sixth tattva, Guru Tattva. Without that tattva, then we cannot understand Pancha Tattva. So, when it begins to define Guru after this, it begins with the verse, Yajyapi Amara Guru, Chaitanya Das, Tathapi Jani Amitahara Prakash. Very remarkable verse, very deep. And the realization also, which Srila Srila Maharaj used to stress this, and he said many times, everything should be considered from two aspects, the relative consideration and the absolute consideration. So here is his words. Das, Chaitanya Das, and Prakash, like that. We have to see Guru at least in this way, these two forms. This is under the three verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita is Diksha Guru. Diksha Guru. Yajyapi Amarkas. Chaitanya Das. In the purport, in the Bengali purport of Bhakti Guru Thakur, he actually uses the word Krishna Das instead of Chaitanya Das. Very remarkable. And then he also says to Guru, Guru is under Nitya Nada Baladev Vilas Prakash. So Prakash is direct manifestation. We should see him as a direct manifestation of Krishna, Chaitanya. But also he's a servant. And then after that, the verse, Guru Krishna Rupe, Kore Shastra Pramare, Guru Rupe Krishna Pipa Kore Bhaktagami. The Guru name is apparently expressed, it just shows us that Diksha Guru means Rupa. How Guru Rupa? Krishna Pipa. He is a manifestation of the mercy of Guru. He's the body of the Guru. And then after that, the third verse would be Acharya Mamba Janya. Again, spoken by Udavidya. Then after that, the understanding of Shiksha Guru comes. Shiksha Guru meaning in two forms, he said here. One is Chaitya Guru, one is Krishna Mahanta Guru. So here it says Shiksha Guru Kito Jani Krishna Saru. Antaryami Bhakti Shrestha is Guru. These two forms. So from here then it goes into what Chaitya Guru is, how difficult it is to understand what Guru is.
difficult time.
Why? Who does he quote? Should ask that, I suppose?
Lord Brahma.
Brahma meditating is so difficult. In Lotus Love, he meditates like that for so many thousands of years. And then Sri Krishna's Bhagavan quotes his Chaturshlok of Srimad Bhagavatam, ending up with this verse, Etava Aniva Jigyasyam. Tattva Jigyasyam Nakvina. Anvayati Yurekabhyam. So here in Prabhupada's purport also in this verse, very beautiful verse, this is very deep, unbiased view of the way. To understand Guru, we have to understand what is direct and what is indirect. And this puzzled me for many, many years, direct and indirect. What does this mean? Even though Prabhupada said, I should have probably loved this. Said in his verse that hindrance means hindrances. The hindrances, the obstacles, devotional service. Indirect, he means the practice of our sadhana. This is also starting, this is kind of general aspect. So if he goes deeper in this, if we go deeper, we find out that Bhaktivinoda is purports, he actually says this, and why it is direct. Has to do with the lila, the nitya lila, and the indirect has to do with the namitapa lila, the killing of the demons. These demons are obstacles. They're obstacles, and this is the indirect route, indirect route. So like this here, very deep.
We want to hear about Pujyapad Siddhar Maharaj. All the tattva you know, I know. But we want to hear something, a specialty of Pujyapad Siddhar Maharaj.
So now I'm going to get to it, besides the precepts. The life of Gurudev, the life of Srila Prabhupada. How I got actually such an understanding. We're talking about tattva here, but what happens is in Srila Sharma's, whatever I mentioned, is the reason of the ill. So in Srila Sharma's, the first time I ever heard him, he mentioned this, dying to live. Dying to live, three words. Everything was there in three words. Srila Srila Maharaj was such a great philosopher. He could do this. He could actually take it. Three words. Everything is there. You talk about Sambandha, Abhinaya, Prayoja, it's in three words, dying to live. Srila Srila Maharaj was like that. He was so precise and deep. Once, actually, he mentioned this, you read through this thing about the Shiksha Guru. This was actually from the Chuktananda Swami. The Chuktananda Swami was walking away with our Srila Prabhupada, and they had visited the Godi of Nanda Sumiti and Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Ma. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what do you prefer? Do you prefer Godi of Nanda Sumiti, or do you prefer Srila Srimad? And Prabhupada looked back and he said, oh, if you go and see the preaching at the Gaudiya Vedanta Samiti, they're doing such wonderful preaching, wonderful, extraordinary preaching. It is the best preaching. And if you go to Srila Srila Maharaj's mind, you'll get such deep, profound realizations. Such deep, profound realizations you cannot imagine. So he said, we should take both. Those realizations, and also that. So Srila Srila Maharaj was like that. And his writings are very deep. He actually got his degree in philosophy. So for that degree in philosophy, even though we think it's mundane, he could take the Western philosophy and the Eastern philosophy and make it very easy. Very easy. Very easy. So, Srila Prabhupada was setting, I came to Srila Srila Maharaj at his lotus feet, and he asked me, oh, do you know Achyutananda? I said, yes, Srila Srila Maharaj. He said, where is he now? I told him where he had left. He had left just so much. He said, oh. He said, actually, he was a very boisterous family, a very boisterous person. I was kind of like taken aback because we used to call Shula Shivansh Guru Maharaj. He would say, he'd make me feel very comfortable. He'd say, oh, he was a very boisterous family, boisterous person. He said, oh, Swami Maharaj, he was sitting here and we were talking. And Chaitanya, he was sitting there also listening. It was in the knowledge and he could not understand. But then there were the ruckus at the front of the mat. So then Chaitanya looked at Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, this ruckus, if I had a gun, I would take out there and disperse this crowd. And Shri Maharaj was looking at Prabhupada. Prabhupada turned back to Chaitanya and he said, oh, if you simply pick up your cartels and go outside the mat and you chant Namaste, the Shingare prayers, then they'll disperse. So Srila Shri Maharaj said he picked up the cartels, went out the front mouth, chanted it, and the whole crowd dispersed. They came back like this. There's so many beautiful, beautiful stories to be told about Srila Shri Maharaj and actually how he made you feel like this is your part of a family. What actually, not only Buddha Tattva, but Buddha, actually Buddha. What is a family in that Raghu Nugar? How do you have love? He made us feel like that, so much of a family. So it was a little temple, a little body. Anyway, so there's some other
Thank
stories.
Thank you.
There's other stories, many close stories, but
and so many so, are.
And there's so many want to speak, so please excuse me.
You have noted down the name of that Prabhu.
Uddhava. And also Lila Sukh from Australia. Lila and also Madhavi.
Madhavi.
Yes, yeah, three speakers. Which one first do you want? So now I'd like to call on another Diksha disciple of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, who's also very senior in our assembly. Shripad Uddhava Das Prabhu, to come and glorify Srila Sridhar Maharaj. He actually, a couple of years ago, he had done a very, very beautiful, dramatic recitation of the direct words of Srila Sridhar Maharaj 2 years ago. Or also last year, he did it twice. And so he is going to speak the words of Srila Sridhar Maharaj in a dramatic presentation. So you can listen how Srila Sridhar Maharaj himself would speak in the English language. Use this mic.
কোনো শব্দ বেড়ে এলো তারপরে তোর মধ্যে যাবে শব্দ বেড়ে এলো তাহলে তো বেড়েতে বেড়েছে
Unlimited obeisances unto the lotus feet of my dearly beloved Shiksha Guru, His Divine Grace, Nijayi Om Vishnu Mahamsa Pradivaja, Kara Sotarasata, Shri Shrimad Bhaktivedanta, Dharani Maharaj. And I offer the same obeisances unto His Divine Grace, Nijayi Om Vishnu Mahamsa Pradivaja, Kara Sotarasata. Shri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. On this auspicious occasion, I would like to glorify my Gurudev by reciting the second half of the booklet entitled Words from the Guardian of Devotion. But before beginning, I feel somewhat compelled to reiterate the fact that these words were certainly not meant to be spoken as some sort of soliloquy. However, for the sake of continuity and hopefully to enhance this moment in time, it may appear to be like that. 3 years ago, I spoke something on the meaning of the Gayatri Mantra. At that time, Srila Gurudev was experiencing an intense head cold and could not hear my words. For the sake of Gurudev, and hopefully for those that had not heard this dissertation, I would like to conclude my presentation today by speaking a few lines from that discourse, using the words of my dearly beloved spiritual master. This discourse was essentially the glorification of Srimati Radhika's exalted, extraordinary service mood. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us a most helpful suggestion by saying, blame yourself and no one else. Absolute good is Sri Krishna, and he's waiting to accept our service. The present is at hand. We must use the time at hand to its best advantage. How is that? Associate with the saints and the scriptures. Absolute good can only be found through the scriptures, through the shastras. Our inner wealth, reality means full-fledged theism. Sacrifice is joy. Nothing can obscure our spiritual progress except our own false ego. I am my own worst enemy. If we are searching for truth, then we are dissatisfied with our present acquisition. Devotion to the absolute means sacrifice. Die to live. If we have an idea of the infinite broadness and depth of the absolute, how can we value anything here? To identify with the interest of our family, society, or country is extended selfishness. When everything is viewed from the standpoint of selfishness and not the universal interest, that is the cause of all of our suffering. The infinite comes down to welcome. To fully embrace the finite, that is Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, not a corner is left neglected. Every blade of grass, every grain of sand is well represented there with personality. What is the use of our intelligence? How can it capture the infinite? existence without consciousness is to exist with no purpose. But when existence is endowed with consciousness, it can search for its own good, ecstasy. We should try to live not in the objective, but in the subjective relativity. Above my consciousness is superconsciousness. Our relationship with the infinite is that of reverence and devotion to the higher entity, and not that of exploitation or enjoyment. You are not a child of this soil. You may be captive here, but this is not your home. This is a foreign land. If we cross beyond light consciousness, we shall find the real necessity of our existence, happiness, ecstasy, and divine love. After establishing ourselves in the realm of consciousness, we must establish ourselves in the realm of divine love, beauty, and ecstasy. Ecstasy is above life. Transcendental mellow is above consciousness. Beauty and charm are above mere consciousness and understanding. Ecstasy can exist by itself. Neither beauty nor existence, neither consciousness nor existence are complete in themselves. Consciousness alone hankers for ecstasy. And existence without consciousness is to exist with no purpose. Both existence and consciousness are subservient to ecstasy. To come to the plane of ecstasy, we will have to dive deep into reality. We should not be satisfied with the formal, the superficial. Our attitude should be one of submission. We should say, alone I will go on with my duty. I won't be always searching for someone to come and help me. Let them do their duty. This is my duty. And we should be conscious that hindrances and obstacles are almost sure to attack us. But we must deal with them with humility and forbearance. So this life is not a life of comfort. And whatever is hidden in the subconscious regions of your heart, Krishna knows. We can't try to apply our reason, our consciousness, to the movements of the infinite. Sometimes logic, reason, and analysis are necessary, but only to preach to the people in general. Krishna's divine movements are kept in reserve by his sweet will, all rights reserved. But we want to search for some law above his sweet will, but this is inconsistent. It is self-contradictory. Leaving aside all doubts and suspicions, we shall be most generous in approaching the infinite free from all inhibitions. We shall approach him with that spirit, and try more and more to leave aside our prejudices and precedents, the records of our past experience. The boundary of this sweet will of the infinite is such that even Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, can be perplexed by Krishna in connection with the infinite. You will find that everywhere there is center and nowhere circumference. But to realize this, you will have to live in eternity in Vaikuntha. Whatever you may conceive is within the infinite. And there are various types of infinite. But the highest type of infinite is that he's so beautiful and so attractive that he's attracting all to surrender unto him. The more they achieve, the more they thirst. The more earnestness is found within them. This is characteristic of realization of the infinite. All other aspects of the infinite. Infinite time, infinite space, and infinite power. Attracts love and self-surrender is the highest type of infinite, and that is Krishna. With all of your thoughts and heart's desire, fully engage yourself in the pure devotional service and worship of Bhargava, the Supreme Goddess Srimati Radha, who is the unlimited origin and possessor of the Swarup Shakti of Krishna, the Supreme Beautiful Godhead, being the ultimate and all-harmonizing potency of Shri Krishna. She remains his eternally unexcelled beloved servitor in order to fully enrich and promote his Leela Vilas. She manifests herself in variegated congenial forms. It is she who manifests herself as Dham Galok, the abode of Krishna, in the form of beautiful effulgence, Sandoya Jyoti, and opulence, Vayabhava, adorning and glorifying him all around. It is she who extends herself as Leela Shakti. Radha Dasya, the service of Srimati Radhika is the ultimate, the supreme end of our life, and it cannot but be so. Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate, the full-fledged theism of the Shastras is found there. And Srimad Bhagavatam says that the glorification of Srimati Radhika is the ultimate, the supreme end of our life. The town of her beautiful service, that is the country. The abode of her beautiful service is the whole Swarup Shakti. Just as rays of light extend from the sun, the whole internal potency is an extension of Mahabhav Srimati Radhika. She has developed herself into such a beautiful area of brilliance, and thereby she serves her Lord. All these necessary things have sprung from her. And to help her in serving her Lord, they all come out. And when the entire internal energy is condensed in a concise form, it is Mahabhav Srimati Radhika. And when Radhika wants to serve, she extends herself in limitless different ways, and with some help from Baladeva and Yogamaya, the whole spiritual world, including Vrindavan, Mathura, and Vaikuntha, evolve to assist Srimati Radhika in the service of Sri Krishna. Gaura Hari.
Thank you. to speak yourself?
In the last.
In the last, okay.
Sanan, thank you very much, Sri Padmaprabhu, for this very beautiful presentation from the commentary of Srila Sridhar Maharaj on the Brahma Gayatri mantra, depicting Srimati Radharani as the topmost supreme worshipable deity of Gayatri. So now I'm calling on another disciple who has taken Diksha from Srila Sridhar Maharaj, His Grace Sripad Vilasukha Prabhu, come and glorify, 10 minutes.
Sadhananda Param Sadhikala Bhagavan Sisparam Sudharam. I brought my heart like a handful of flowers to my Diksha Guru, Mr. Little Priestom, Vishnupad, Perfect Charyasta Tarasat Sudhakta Kaksuda, Goswami Maharaj. To my Diksha Guru, Om Vishnupad Paramas, Perfect Charyasta Tarasat Sudhakta Nanta Narai Maharaj. And to the great guru that I didn't meet, that brought me to Krishna consciousness through his books and the institution that he led. His little Christom Vishnupad Prabhacharya Satarasat Sudhavakvedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada. In 1985, I was given shelter in the mission of Swami Maharaj Prabhupada. After about 6 months, I became a little bit serious and went to India to find out what was the heart of this Krishna conscious movement. Where could I find a guru? It was Gaur Panini time, one that Prabhupada disciple befriended me and brought me to Mayapur. I was staying in Mayapur. The devotees in my room were speaking an unusual conversation one day. They were speaking about how next year, the 86th, was going to be the 500th anniversary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the devotees decided amongst themselves that the great institution of ISKCON would be magnanimous and let all the devotees that had gone across the river come back. But Raja Shikara, this Prabhupada disciple who befriended me and I had some faith in, he said, wait just a minute. They don't want to come back. Nobody ever comes back. So at this point, I realized there's something over the river. There's some controversy over there. Yeah, that was side of the Ganga, because we were in Mayapur. There's some controversy over there, and there's some attraction that keeps people there so they don't come back. So I come to India out of curiosity. I've certainly crossed the Ganga out of curiosity. So I went. Yeah, I know, I never came back either. I crossed the Ganga the next day. I went to Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math, and there I found what I'd been curiously seeking, a guru, a Mahabhagavat guru. And how do we know that he was a Mahabhagavat guru? What made me actually convinced that this was the case? It was because, as we just heard nice examples of, the Harikatha that he was speaking was so sweet, so powerful, so easy to digest, that it went to your heart, and you never wanted to leave this association. The devotees that were coming to him from the English Sangha were, myself I was curious, but many had been in ISKCON for a long time and had been asked to leave, and they were somewhat disturbed. Myself, it was no problem because I wasn't so attached. I was very new. And he was giving teachings in English that were so mystical. Srila Maharaj had this magical, mystical power over the English language, probably every language he spoke. Whenever he would say something that was unusual grammar, or he changed a paraphrase, it wasn't because he didn't know the proper way to speak. It was because he was trying to stress a certain example. With the paraphrase, the famous term that we all know, a bad workman quarrels with his schools. And the first thing that goes to your mind, Maharaj, you mean tools. But then you quiet it because he's a guru. You listen to him. You're not going to correct your guru, so you listen. And you realize he knows exactly what he's talking about. And he would go on and speak out. If we take the shot of stools must come, the stools are a reaction from us eating. Therefore, we should not quarrel with them. This whole environment around us is already earned by us. We should not quarrel with the environment. Without giving any Sanskrit, which we might have confused this a little bit, some, at least myself, who would present these topics that would go straight to our heart. Srila Gurudev, he's presented this and told us that all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas should have this tattva engraved in gold upon their heart. And we all know this quote from our Lord Brahma, that they knew the promises mixed on a domino. If we want to have that service of the divine love of the divine couple, and we want to have that loving service, then whatever the environment is coming against us, we should see this is the kind hand of the Lord just directing me, just correcting me. He would go on in these similar lines. So it's been realized in very, very short lines, which is cut already, would say things like Krishna consciousness means to be in harmony with the environment. Not that we are going to change the environment to be in harmony with us, but we must change to be in harmony with the environment. Prakriti kriyamani gunai karmanisavashiva ahankar puhatma kartamintamanyate. He would point out ways that would cut through our ego, that we would realize that we're not the controllers. There's higher forces that are moving, and we are the ones that need to be controlled. We are the ones that the operation needs to be done on. The environment needs to do an operation on us, not that we need to do an operation on the environment. We are not the ones that are going out and doing a Rajmandal Parakal. If things don't go the way we want them to, we aren't the ones to get angry and change it. We are the ones that need to change. And his teachings were so sweet, so subtle, cutting through our false ego like this. He even could give us concepts from the religion of our background that we didn't conceive and never understood. Once a small group of devotees was with him, and he asked the devotees, "Do you know who Judas is?" And the devotees, a Spanish devotee from a Catholic background, he says, "Oh, yeah, Judas, he's the one who sold Jesus." So the Sri Ramana says, "Yes, Judas sold Jesus, but my concept is somewhat different from yours. Judas, he betrayed Jesus with a kiss. For a handful of silver, Judas sold Jesus to the authorities," pointed out which one he was. "The authorities then, they took Jesus away to be crucified. They brutally beat him, gave him a rough wooden cross to carry through the town up to the hill where he'd be crucified on that day. All the crowds were around and they were jeering. The bloodlust had come out and they were spitting at him, they were throwing things at him. And Judas was amongst that crowd." And so Deuteronomy said, "Judas, he caught the glance of Jesus and he went mad." The glance of Jesus was not what Judas had expected. Judas had expected a glance from Jesus of, "Oh Judas, why have you done this to me? You were my disciple. I was here to help you. But now you have betrayed me." But Judas was caught completely off guard. The glance of Jesus was one of, "Judas, you please forgive me for what I have done to you." Judas was so off guard, he threw the money away. He went and hung himself. Jesus knew that there was a traitor there amongst them. "I have used you for my purposes. My suffering is only for today, then I will be glorified for eternity. But Judas, you will be known as a traitor for eternity. So Judas, you please forgive me for what I have done to you." So the Sutta Maharaj spoke this in almost these same words, in such clear language that just cut through. We can use this Gaudiya Vaishnavism. They not only have a religion, they know our religion, and they know the higher points of our religion, and we perceive ourselves, and we were born into it. So much shraddha, so much faith was developed in there. So the Sutta Maharaj developed, you know, some few Westerners were around him from this Hare Katha. He a teaching from Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, his Guru Maharaj, that he gave to us, which was, is, don't read the 10th canto, don't read the received books of the of Goswamis, like Rupa Goswami, Krishna Bhavana read these. He said this teaching was given to him by Bhaktisiddhanta, and whatever he needed to know from these literatures, Bhaktisiddhanta had given to him. Now, this was given to us some very new disciples in a certain time and place. And only recently I've had one of my godbrothers come up and tell me, oh, you're associating with Srila Bhaktivedanta Ryan Rice, and he's teaching from what's called the Milavani in the 10th canto, and such. Your Guru Maharaj said that his Guru Maharaj didn't read these, so you shouldn't either. But we shouldn't take these teachings out of their out of the time, place, and circumstances that they're given. This one in particular, because Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, he gave that teaching, I think, in the 30s, when the Gaudiya Vaishnavism was at a state of not very much respect amongst the community, because so many claiming to be elevated Vaishnavas were not following. He wanted to establish a strong platform. But then at the end, Srila Sutta Maharaj was with him, and he called all of his disciples together, and he asked them, don't spend all of your time on an artha pravritti like I have. We, on an artha nivritti. There must be some artha pravritti. We must have this goal of delving deep into the teachings and moods of the Goswamis. And then he asked Srila Sutta Maharaj, the same as Rupa Manjaripada, as he was leaving. Even though Srila Sutta Maharaj wasn't known as a great kirtaneer, he had the mood and the bhav that the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada wanted to hear as he was leaving his preaching mission here on this world. So after Bhaktisiddhanta left, Srila Sutta Maharaj, in his humility, he felt that he didn't know the Shastra. Bhaktisiddhanta had a mission to establish a strong platform here in the continent of India. And he established that platform, and he instructed many of his disciples, now you preach all over the whole world. Srila Sutta Maharaj was so involved and so helpful in that mission, he felt he didn't know the Shastra well enough. So he went to Ekka Chakra, and he spent, I think, almost something like 10 years there, studying and doing intense bhajan, not taking any disciples at this time, except for sannyas disciples, because they were advanced devotees that he could give them sannyas and say, now go and preach. He didn't take them Hivarinam and Diksha, where he would have to establish an ashram or work on training with the disciples. There's examples of that in other present day acharyas. Bhaktisiddhanta, he spent 10 years chanting a billion names at Huntsville Mayapur, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him and said, now you go and preach. Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, he spent 6 years at Radhadamana. Then Rupa Goswami, he came to him and he said, now is the time you go and preach. After all this time at Ekka Chakra, Nityananda Prabhu, he came to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and said, now is the time you go and preach. How did Nityananda Prabhu come? Well, I can't come, I don't have realizations of that, but I know some of how his energy came to him. His energy came to him in the form of Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Maharaj. He came to Srila Sutta Maharaj in Ekka Chakra, and he pleaded with him, come to Calcutta, join my preaching mission there. And Srila Sutta Maharaj, he accepted that. He took a room in Calcutta from Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, and he began to take disciples, and he began to preach. Swami Maharaj, he would organize the preaching programs because he had businesses and connections and knew the town. So Sutta Maharaj, he would give the lectures. He became guru and took one disciple. The one that I know of is Govinda. And when he gave his disciple Govinda to Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, and he said, you teach him Bhagavad Gita. Whenever Sulasuna Maharaj couldn't go on the preaching missions, Swami Maharaj would take Govinda and he'd go preaching, and he'd get him to deliver the lecture. Now, Govinda Maharaj told me this himself. And when Govinda Maharaj was asked to do this, he was very uncomfortable because he didn't have realization. He was a very new devotee. And but Swami Maharaj would explain to him, look, you just deliver the lecture, you're wearing the saffron, they'll appreciate this, and if anybody asks the questions, then I will answer the questions. So the preaching went on this way. Sulasuna Maharaj, he was so appreciative of what Swami Maharaj did in the West. When Swami Maharaj came back, he said, the Sulasuna Maharaj glorified him and said, Swami Maharaj, he has done the impossible. He has fulfilled the mission of our Guru and done the impossible. And he announced that he was a Sakya-based avatar, empowered by Lord Nityananda to preach. And Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, he glorified Sulasuna Maharaj, as it was actually read here by Padmanabha Maharaj in very nice ways. But not all of the God brothers were of similar moods. There were some that, while Swami Maharaj was gone, there were some that approached Sulasuna Maharaj and they said, oh, they complained to him. You know, Sulasuna Maharaj, this Swami Maharaj, he's been criticizing you. And Sulasuna Maharaj, he had such an intimate relationship with Swami Maharaj. He said, Achyat, Swami Maharaj, he's such a bold preacher that I have not even been spared in his preaching. And they were all silent. They came, as the story goes, they came and said, oh, Swami Maharaj, he's going around the world saying that we play bells. And Sulasuna Maharaj, he was a form breaker. He would break forms so that we could think in different ways, but he was also a great harmonizer. He answered their complaints by saying, oh, if Swami Maharaj is traveling the world playing the Mahapradanga and saying that we are ringing bells in that kirtan, and I'm very happy. All of his God brothers were somewhat satisfied, and they were pacified by this. Because this is, as Rupa Goswami tells us, Nupadesha-rita, this Sunyata-rita, the Nindati, completely removed this propensity to minimize the envious of others. Sulasuna Maharaj had none of that in his teachings, in his life, and amongst all the people that he associated with. And this is the Sangha that that all of us have often longed for. And I pray that I may someday become a proper servant of my Diksha Guru and equally the reason of the reason of God for which I ask the Christ as to about their God's sake with some of my eyes.
Very excellent. Madhavi.
So now I'd like to call on the final speaker before Srila Gurudev will address our audience, and that is Srimati Madhava Didi to come and glorify Srila Sridhar Maharaj. She is an initiated disciple of Srila Sridhar Maharaj and also very senior, also first initiated by our Srila Prabhupada. She is always very absorbed in hearing all lecture tapes that have been recorded by Srila Sridhar Maharaj and has imbibed very deeply his moods and teachings.
Offer my unlimited heartfelt prayers to the Supreme Lord. respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnavas assembled here. So this is a very auspicious day, the appearance festival of a very unique and loving guru guardian in the line of Srila Saraswati Thakura and the Rupa Nugodhara Sampradaya. And it is by the inconceivable protectiveness and kindness of our beloved Srila Narayan Maharaj that this festival is being continuously observed year after year. And under his guidance, we're able to properly worship and glorify such great personalities, which if we didn't have this guidance, we wouldn't have the ability to do it. So I'm particularly grateful to Srila Gurudev for this. My Gurudev, he wrote in glorification of his Gurudev, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, one line, Kaviraja Narottama Sakya Padam Pranamami Sada Prabhupada Padam. So in this assembly, under the guidance of Srila Gurudev, one can feel that all of the Rupanuga Guru Varga are seated here with love and honor. Not only honor, but friendship and love also. So this same glorification that was written about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, I wish to express the same thing about Srila Gurudev. So I am very unqualified, but I'm also very anxious to say a few words in glorification of my Divine Diksha Guru. It will be very short, but I wanted to share a few things about his love and affection and his teachings and his divine life. He was born in a village in Vardhaman district called Papanya. And when he met his Gurudev Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he asked him immediately, "Where are you from?" And when Guru Maharaj replied, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's immediate response was, "Ah, within Gauramandal." It was as if he was recognizing one of his eternal followers, joining him again. He was given the name at birth Raman Rachandra. And when he took initiation from his Gurudev, his name was changed to Ramendra Sundar. So at that time, Guru Maharaj asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, "What should be the meaning of Ramendra?" And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta replied, "Not Dasarathi Ram, Radhika Ramendra." So this deeply impressed Guru Maharaj. Then later, he was sent to South India, establishing the Padavita of Mahaprabhu in different places. He came to the banks of Godavari, where the famous conversation took place between Rai Ramananda and Mahaprabhu. And he wrote one shloka there, which was installed in the temple. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta changed his name again at that time to Ramananda Das. So he used to talk about this Ramananda Sambhava. He said, "I feel that I am there." He said, "Nothing in this world can affect me, even nothing in Vaikuntha. I have taken my seat firmly at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and Rai Ramananda." And he said, "Everything is there. It's there for everyone to come and drink. But no one is coming to drink. Valuable after valuable gems, Ratnachin Tamini." So when he would talk about this Ramananda Sambhad, it can completely captivate the heart. And also whenever he spoke about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, by listening to his voice, one would feel that they were right there when these pastimes were happening. And completely lose the consciousness of this external world. So I transcribed a small little paragraph about something very beautiful Guru Maharaj said about his own heart that I'd like to read. One devotee said to him that very easily you have got love of Krishna. Guru Maharaj replied, "Very recently I am approaching towards Krishna. I think I am approaching." He said, "I had more attraction for Mahaprabhu and Radharani and Ramchandra. I am fond of generosity, self-giving. But Krishna seems to me absorbing energy. But I am fond of giving, distributing one's own self, Atmanivedana. Self-sacrifice attracts me most. So when I think about Radharani, I lose my existence. I think about Mahaprabhu, and my connection to Krishna has been given by him only. Because Mahaprabhu recommends Krishna, I have come to Krishna. I had some independent attraction towards Krishna through Gita, but Vrindavan Krishna, Mahaprabhu has given me and Radharani. I am more attracted to their personality than that of Krishna. That is my inner nature, I say to you. I am more impressed by sacrifice, magnanimity, Atmanivedan, self-giving. But recently, very recently, I have got some special attraction towards Krishna, because without that, I cannot enter into the camp of Radharani. So it was our experience when we came in Guru Maharaj's mouth. If we wanted to come close to him, it could only be done through going backwards. If anyone was, if the news came to Guru Maharaj that anyone was doing any menial service in the mosque, cleaning the drains, cleaning the toilets, serving the Vaishnavas, Guru Maharaj would become attracted to that person and call them closer. And anyone who tried to push their way forward, they wouldn't have any success. Guru Maharaj used to talk about the pastime of Maharaj Prajaparudra, how he tried to come close to Mahaprabhu. But when he accepted the service of the sweeper, Mahaprabhu's heart was melted towards him. So he was always pushing us towards what he said as the negative side, the soft side, the serving side. And by that, we can easily become pulled up by Yoga Maya. He said, don't try to go up. Try to go down, and Yoga Maya will forcibly take you up. He said, it's better to be overqualified in a lower plane than to be underqualified in a higher plane. Just try to go down, and you'll see how the environment takes you up. So, though I'm unworthy, I just pray to offer these words as my shortcut, which mentally I just love to speak, and pray to him that I can serve him forever and serve the whole Rupa Nika Guru Varga and get the divine goal of Krishna praying, which they're all trying to give us.
He has given you direct diksha. He gave you Brahma Gayatri?
No.
Very good.
Now in this auspicious assembly presided over by our beloved Gurudev, I wish to request him that he will be so merciful and he will also glorify his beloved Sikh Gurudev.
Guruve Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadale Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadabhaktaya Bancha Kalpataru Bhasya Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vacha Patitanam Pāvanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tishayam. I am thinking what to speak because all have told everything about him. Nothing left any reminder. What?
Remnants
to speak. Especially he too. Spoke everything and rest other speakers. Also he spoke very good. And also and more? Uddhava. So they have spoken very nice. In my opinion, he was very bhakta vatsal. Bhakta vatsal. If any disciple, brahmachari, goes to Sunibadi, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the
Sika.
Sikha of Krishna, Kala Krishnadas and he
dragged him back.
Pujyapar Siddhar Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, was so bhaktabhasa and merciful that any disciple, brahmachari, or sannyasi even took run away from him and took marriage. Even again and again, he never left him. Nowadays we see that they cannot think like this. But he was so merciful. I used to go to him from beginning 1946 with my Guruji to him and used to listen their dialogues and darshanik vichar, philosophical discussions. I heard the glorification of my Gurudev from Pujyapad, Param Pujyapad Sridhar Goswami Maharaj. He told me that once when I was reading in Calcutta in law college, in the last year, I went to Mayapur to meet Prabhupada. And I saw a brahmachari in white Shantipur dress. In hands, one stick, sitting on the chair, keeping his face on the table in front, and thinking something. And I saw that tall sannyasi, respected sannyasi, came and did dandvat pranam to him and asked something, folding his hand. And he, in the same position, he told something, and again that sannyasi did pranam and went. Pujyapad Siddhar Maharaj was telling that, who is brahmachari in white dress and also not aged so much? Who is he? He asked them someone and they told that, oh, he is Vinod Bihari Brahmachari. He is the right hand of Srila Prabhupada. He is very intelligent, darshanic, philosopher, and very qualified person. And then he went to Srila Prabhupada and he saw in first darshan. He was so attracted that he left his college, study law, and became Brahmachari. His name was Rameshchandra, Ramendra. What name? Ramendra Bhattacharya. Bhattacharya.
Yes, yes.
Bhattacharya. He was in Brahmin family. Very rusticated family. And later on, Prabhupada gave him sannyas, bhakti, rakshak, siddhar maharaj. Pujyapad Siddhar Maharaj, he was very near and dear to Srila Prabhupada. He used to send him as a representative to the council of darshanic philosophers. And he used to go to especially Madras area or in India, Haridwar, here and there to preach. I've heard his philosophical dialects with Guru Maharaj. In their dialects, sometimes Pujyapad Siddhar Maharaj cutting all his argument and establish one thing. And then Guru Maharaj used to cut down all arguments and as to establish one thing. In thus going on. Param Pujyapad Siddhar Maharaj was so much junior to my Gurudev. Gurudev came in 1916 and he came
1925.
In age also, not in age. And he used to respect my Gurudev so much. But Guru Maharaj took sannyas from him. Why? He said that in whole at Gaudiya Math, there was no philosopher pandit like him. And he took sannyas in Katwa on Vishwarup Mahotsav from him. And seeing this, so many disciples of Prabhupada, they took sannyas from Pujyapad Siddhar Maharaj. Once I was in Mathura, in charge of Mathura, and at the time of Kartik, Param Pujyapad Siddhar Maharaj, Param Pujyapad Bhakti Daita Madhav Maharaj, Pujyapad Jajaur Maharaj, and some other sannyasis were there in Mathura. And they were sitting. And Rishikesh Maharaj, some junior, he asked a question about Jiva Tattva. Is there anything in the constitutional form, the relation with Krishna, or it comes from association? What is the fact? And great discussion was going on. Param Pujyapad Siddhar Maharaj, they requested Siddhar Maharaj to speak. He told that Jivare Swarup hai Nitya Krishna Das. Nitya Krishna Das, then what Krishna Das? What kind of relation is there? If Das is fixed, then either of Sakha, Vatsalya, Dasya or Madhu. Any should be Sambandh Jnana. sambandh with Krishna. Understanding my, or I should speak in Hindi and anyone should translate.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. Very clear.
So, he told that there is a fixed relation with Krishna. Siddha Swarup, Siddha Nam, Siddha Rup, everything is there. By sadhana it comes out, by the grace of Gurudev. And then they requested Pujyapada Sridhar Maharaj to my Gurudev that you should speak on this subject. And then he told Param Pujyapada Sridhar Maharaj, what he has told, it is true. Now by evidence, by udaharan, example I am telling you, that fixed swarup of any devotee cannot be changed. It is fixed. What is there, it will come. What is not there, it will not come. Like river Ganges, on that, on earth, seed of tamarind, mango, neem, jackfruit, so many. Angur mane? Grapes. Is given in the same soil, same water coming and irrigating them. Same gardener. Same air. Same sun, everything is there. But why different kinds of trees coming? Mango seed, mango. Tamarind. Jackfruit. Why? Because the seed is there. So, jiva is here seed. What is there fixed? It will manifest. Kriti saddha bhavet saddha bhavasa sadhana vidha nitya siddhasya prakattam hridi saddha. This thing. So I was very much impressed by all these things. I have written all these things in of Gurudev. Once I went there with my Guru Maharaj and they were discussing about this sloka written by Rupa Goswami. Krishneti jasya garing tang manasadriyeta dikshasti cheta bhajanti misham sursusaya bhajan. This. And there was some clash that Bhakti Vinod Thakur is telling that those who are taking name, even one name, we should do pranam to him. And Prabhupada is telling that if diksha, so difference of opinion, what we should, all were telling that what Bhakti Vinod Thakur is telling, we should accept. But when the turn of my Gurudev came, and then he told, we know Bhakti Vinod Thakur by Srila Prabhupada. From beginning of his birth, he was taking Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Bhakti Rasami Sindhu, Ujjwal Nirmani, all grants with Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And Bhakti Bunadha had taught everything to him. So, Prabhupada knows who is Bhakti Vinod Thakur and what is his idea. Better than us. Because you know Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur through him. So we should Obey Prabhupada's order, what he has told. What Prabhupada has told, after hearing so much from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it is Siddhant. Then all were very astonished and accepted. So each year I used to go after my Guru Maharaj left this world, even I used to go to him and used to ask some questions and he used to give answers. So there are so many things. Now time is over. We will discuss all these things later on. So we will go now to Aarti and Pushpanjali.